Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
It's Tuesday, and I'm glad you're with me here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio, especially glad that you're joining me for this really wonderful teaching that Derek is doing called The Way Up is Down. We are born into an invisible kingdom when we become Christians, and that invisible kingdom has rules. It has laws, and some of those laws are completely opposite of what we know in the world, what we've known throughout our lives, but if we'll learn to walk in them, we will walk in blessing. For example, the Bible says, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Well, it seems easy, doesn't it? If we want to be exalted, we simply humble ourselves. Oh, if it was just that simple. But that's what Derek's teaching us how to do. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of Jesus, we learn how to walk in the invisible laws of the kingdom. Now, if you've missed the first day of this teaching, you can log on to derekprince.org and you'll be able to soak in this as much as you want to. But let's get right to it as Derek gets down to, as he says, the heart of the matter.
Two things. First of all, let's get a picture. Now, I have to say this is my imagination. It's speculation. It isn't stated plainly in Scripture. I do think there's a great many different things that confirm what I'm saying. But I see a condition in heaven before sin had ever happened, with myriads of glorious created angels. And one of the chief angels was the one who was known in Hebrew as Ayelet HaShachar. I wonder how many of you that have been to Israel remember a kibbutz with that name. And it's usually translated in English for the kibbutz, the hind of the dawn. But in the Bible it's translated the morning star. And in the King James Version it's translated Lucifer, which means the light bringer. And that is, of course, the morning star, the one who introduces the dawn. The Hebrew phrase, Ayelet HaShachar, means the hind or the deer that brings the dawn. It speaks of something swift and beautiful and delicate and graceful. So amongst the created angels, there was this one who was what I believe we would call an archangel or a ruling angel. The Bible reveals three archangels, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. It's theory, and I want to emphasize that, but it seems to me possible that each angel was answerable to one of the persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and that each of them commanded a third of the created angels. And if that be so, then my opinion is that Lucifer was responsible to the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the one who's called the Word, the one who was in the Father's bosom, and so on. Now, because of his outstanding and perhaps unique wisdom and beauty, Lucifer felt that he was worthy of a higher position. In fact, he felt that he was as good as his Lord. And if it be the Son of God, I think that adds a great deal of meaning to the rest of history. And so he went about promoting rebellion and spreading slander amongst the angels. And let me say, if that worked in heaven, it's almost bound to work on earth. And let me also add, he's never changed his tactics. The person who goes about spreading false reports is probably as near to doing the will of Satan as any person on earth. And unfortunately, let's be honest, churches are full of such people. So what did he say? Well, again, this is speculation. But I think he said something like this. You know, you people, I want you to understand, you angels, that Lord and he said it with rather a cynical tone of voice, doesn't really appreciate you. I mean, you have capabilities. You're capable of more than is being given to you. Now, if you were to follow me, I would really see that your full potential was developed, and so on. And why don't we set up our own kingdom? Why should we serve this God? I believe I could make as good a God as the God we've served. And apparently, the amazing thing is, in the full line of heaven's glory, in a perfect universe that had never been marred by sin, these tactics succeeded. It really causes me to tremble in a way, because if they worked in heaven, where sin had never been heard, where God was revealed in his glory and beauty, how much better they're going to work on earth, and how much better they have worked for thousands of years. See, one of the things I'm trying to do is reveal to you the identity of the enemy and the way he operates, because he's still operating the same way. And so the result was a rebellion in which one-third of the created angels turned against God, following Lucifer. The figure one-third is taken, probably you know, from the book of Revelation, where it says that the dragon swept one-third of the angels out of heaven with his tail. And it's very generally believed that that was what happened in the beginning. Another frightening thing is the tremendous scope of authority. God committed authority to Lucifer. He gave him authority over one-third of the created angels. And when Lucifer fell in rebellion, the whole of that area of God's kingdom was swept away with him, I believe irrevocably. I don't believe there's any way back for fallen angels. It really is a frightening thought. For those of us who are in authority, in whatever small measure it may be, I think it should continually warn us that the effects of our disobedience or disloyalty can be irretrievable for those who are under us. And for those who are under authority, I think it's a warning to examine whose authority you're following. One of the things that we have been saying is, it's very dangerous to be submitted to a man who's submitted to no one. I think it's an almost sure road to ultimate disaster.
You know, the principle of authority is so important in the kingdom of God that Derek was able to say this. It's very dangerous to be submitted to a man who's submitted to no one. I think it's an almost sure road to ultimate disaster. May the Lord give us insight into the power of authority in the body of Christ. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, "What's in it for me?" this DVD's message explores the power behind the question, "How may I serve God?" It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad that you're with me today. Derek Prince is teaching us about the fall of Lucifer from heaven, and he's doing so to illustrate the principle of humility. It's pride that causes us to be cast down. Even as Satan was cast down from heaven, but humility causes us to be exalted. Let's listen.
There's a parallel passage which is familiar to many, I'm sure, in Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Reading from verses 12 through 15. Here, the name Lucifer, or Ayelet HaShachar, is actually used. Beginning at verse 12, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of dawn, Ayelet HaShachar. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations." Now, the marvelous thing about prophecy is it always reveals not just the outward acts, but the inner motivation, the essential inner facts. And here we're given the motivation that caused Lucifer to rebel. "You said in your heart," and I have to pause and say that I marvel that God knew what Lucifer was saying in his heart all the time. And he let him get away with it. For who knows how long? I don't know how time was measured, but who knows how long this process took? Friend, you may think you're getting away with something, but I want to tell you that God knows what you're doing. And he may let you get away with it for months or years, but one day you'll discover God knew. "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Notice two little words that occur five times. The motivating words of all action. The set of the will. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. What is the root problem of the universe? The will of the creature in opposition to the will of the Creator. Notice the climax. The first, "I will ascend to heaven." The second, "I will raise my throne above the stars of God." The third, "I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly." The fourth, "I will ascend above the tops of the clouds." The fifth, and this is the climax, "I will make myself like or equal to God himself." I like the translation here that says, "I will make myself equal." The King James says, "I will be like." But in the Hebrew verbal forms, there are five main verbal forms. And one of them is something that's done repetitively or with special intention, and this is the one. It's not "I will be," but "I will make myself." It's my aim, it's my purpose, it's my ongoing intention and endeavor to make myself equal to the Most High. The result was fall. You remember what we said? Whosoever exalts himself will be humble. Never fails. Now, God's response to this rebellion was something that only God would have thought of, as I see it. And I'm giving you some of my insights or intuitions or opinions, whatever you want to call them. Notice the root problem was pride. And I believe God saw that once and for all, this issue of pride had got to be dealt with in such a way that when it was finished, that problem would never occur again. And so God decided to make a new kind of creature. His name, Adam, Adam, or man. And as I understand scripture, this creature was made in a way that no other creature was made. Of all the other creatures, it says, God spoke and it was done. With the word of his mouth and his spirit, he created the heavens and their host, all that was in them. But this one was different. And I'm going to read just one verse in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. This is one of my favorite verses. I could preach on this for a long while, but I'll try not to. Genesis 2, 7. "And the Lord God formed man," and in Hebrew it's a proper name, Adam, Adam. And Adam is directly related to the Hebrew word for earth, which is Adama. It's also related to the Hebrew word for red, which is Adom, and it's also related to the Hebrew word for blood, which is Dam. So that word immediately evokes a whole context of associations. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. I prefer the version a living soul. So, how do we picture this happening? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe it happened the way it's recorded. So I believe that the second person of the Godhead, the one in a sense who had been the focus of the rebellion, came down to earth, stooped down, took some dust, mingled it with water, formed clay, and molded the greatest piece of pottery or sculpture that the universe has ever seen. A perfect body. Beautiful, but lifeless. And then this eternal being, God in person, stooped still lower down, put his divine lips against the lips of clay, and breathed into that body of clay the spirit of life. And the in-breathed spirit turned that clay figure into a living human personality.
I want you to notice that five times the devil said, "I will," in his proclamation that caused him to be cast down. It was the will of the selfish soul. It was the I will exalt myself, I will have. That attitude is what cost him to be cast down. Derek's going to wrap this up when we return in just a moment as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, "What's in it for me?" this DVD's message explores the power behind the question, "How may I serve God?" It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at DerekPrince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are in a marvelous series by Derek Prince on the whole issue of the principles of the kingdom of God. And he calls this "The Way Up is Down," because the principles of the kingdom are so inverse of the principles of this world. Let's listen.
I am interested in the Hebrew language. I'm interested in it because in many ways it contains keys to understanding Scripture. There are two words there that are very interesting. The word for to breathe, I won't go into why it's this way, but it's vayipach. And it contains a P sound, and then the sound that English-speaking people normally do not make, the letter het, which is produced in the throat by a continuing outgoing breath. Scottish people can say it like loch, but the ordinary English-speaking people can't say it. Semitic languages have it, and you can't speak Semitic languages correctly till you can make that sound. Now, for some years I taught phonetics in Africa to African students, and I taught them various different kinds of letters. And the letter P is a distinctive letter. It's called a plosive. In other words, it has a little explosion. And I used to demonstrate this to my students. I don't know whether I can do it here because of the fans, but by holding a piece of paper in front of my mouth and saying a word like pepper. Now, I'll try and do it. I'm not sure if it'll work. But if it works, if there's not too much wind around, you'll see that each time I make a P sound, there's an explosion of my breath. Pepper. Pepper. Can you see that? There's no other letter that will do that except P. Why do I say that? Because I think when the Lord breathed into that body of clay, it was by yipach. He didn't just gently breathe, but there was a tremendous force and authority that impelled the breath into the clay. And then there was that ongoing vayipach. See, the sound of the word describes the action, which is one of the characteristics of Hebrew. And that in-breathed breath of Almighty God changed that clay body into a living person. And man became a living soul. Now the word for soul is nephesh. And in all Hebrew words there are three root consonants, n, th, and sh in that one. Nephesh. Now the word for spirit is ruach. So spirit is a kind of ongoing, irresistible, unceasing, outgoing breath. Ruach. That's spirit. Spirit produced soul. Soul is nephesh. Soul is created. Soul is dependent. Spirit is uncreated and not dependent. And so the in-breathed spirit, the ruach, produced the nephesh. Now, if you take those three sounds and you picture a person sleeping, you get a sound like this. Can you hear the What does that tell you? It tells you that soul is dependent. It has to breathe in before it can breathe out. See that? Spirit is eternal, ongoing. So the out-breathed spirit produced the creative, dependent soul, which was a person.
If we learn anything from this story that Derek is telling us about the fall of Lucifer from heaven, it is that pride will always cause us to be cast down. That humility is the path to exaltation. I'll tell you, if we would just take a few moments and even say to ourselves, humility is the path to exaltation. Humility is the path to promotion. That's what God is trying to teach us. I want you to take a moment, take some inventory of your life, and ask yourself where pride, where arrogance, where exalting yourself is rearing its ugly head, defining your life, and I want you to walk in the opposite spirit. Humble yourself. And let God exalt you. Listen, be sure and log on to the website at derekprince.org to really soak in these teachings. But that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to request your copy of Derek's DVD, Being a Servant, available for just $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the key to joy, influence, and blessing. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your DVD copy of Being a Servant securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.